your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome to another episode of Alchemy. Joining me today is Joe Hodes. Joe is the Chief Marketing Officer at Wana Brands. Wana is the country's number one infused products with operations in Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, and launching in Michigan, Illinois, and Florida. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you. So, Joe, you know, your background is pretty interesting, you know, kind of taking a look at where you've been. You started off in the PR world, and then you jumped over to the airline business, and then you moved into health, and here you are now in the world of cannabis. Talk to us about your path, what led you into the cannabis world.
Sure. Well, you know, and I'll tell you, the cannabis world, that transition was probably one of the few times in my career where I said, this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to get there. Because most of the time, it has been opportunities that have presented themselves, and I have followed those opportunities. And then when I look back, I say, oh, well, that's why the path went the way that it did. But in the case of cannabis, I was a partner with an ad agency here in Colorado called Vladimir Jones, and had been there for a couple of years. And a young lady that worked for me came back from lunch and said, hey, I just had lunch with a guy who's got a pot soda company and they need some brand work. Would we be interested in doing that? And this was 2010 and very beginning of really any visibility for cannabis as a commercially viable industry. And I thought, sure, that sounds like a really interesting opportunity. I would love to do that. So of course the creative team was all on board, right? They're always up for something like that. And we did some brand work for a company called Dixie Brands. And that really began my fascination with this industry because we did some research for them too, some consumer research. And it became clear to me that people that were using cannabis were not who I thought they were, and they weren't using it in the ways that I thought they were using it. And so at that point, I said, this is something I want to keep on top of. I kept in touch with the Dixie team for many years thereafter. And once recreational legalization was passed here in Colorado, I made the suggestion that perhaps I should jump over and become the CMO of their company. And they agreed. So first week of legalization, I became the CMO of Dixie Brands.
Amazing. So when you were over at Dixie, so you essentially, from what I read, you launched 5 new markets and, you know, 2 new CBD brands. You know, what were kind of some of your learnings during that time? Because you were you were an early adopter. And I'm just curious, like, if you could share with everybody else how you did it and what was kind of going through your head during this time too, because this is all new.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, as you are probably quickly learning, it's like dog years in cannabis, right? So it feels like about 100 years ago already. But if I can remember that far back, you know, so much of it was learning, right? And there was some of it that was learning that was really critical. So, for example, when the industry as a whole launched in January 2014, we all thought, okay, well, there's 100 milligram limit per package. So we'll take our formerly 300 milligram products, we'll make them in 100 milligram products, and we'll put them out on the market. Well, we quickly found out that the recreational consumer doesn't consume that way, not only from a preference standpoint, but also from a safety standpoint. So the state quickly jumped in. They said, okay, you can have no more than 10 milligrams per piece. And so we had to reimagine our product set, right? So that was a quick learning that was enforced by the state. But of course, we as a company wanted to not only be compliant, but also find a product set that worked for the consumer. But above and beyond that, so much of it was about understanding this consumer and how they worked. So 2014, trying to figure out how to get our brand in front of people. I remember we did a digital campaign where the intent was to have folks upload a video about why they wanted to be a product tester for Dixie. Sounded like a lot of fun. We'd always get people, you know, emailing us saying, hey, I'd love to be a product tester if you ever need one. So we thought, let's create a campaign about it. Well, come to find out in 2014, the cannabis consumer is not real fond of making videos of themselves consuming cannabis and uploading them to the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, lessons like that about who this consumer is, how they consume and how they interact with media was really, I think, a big part of it.
So a big part of your job too is really, you know, educating consumers on safe cannabis consumption practices. How did you do that?
That was actually some of my favorite work during that time period, because part of my thinking when I got into the cannabis space, and it was a big decision, right? 2014, there were not a lot of what I'll call mainstream marketers jumping into cannabis. So I consulted with all of my mentors and my family and friends and, you know, really tried to gather as much data as I could from them to before I made this decision. But one of the things that I think I was thinking at the time was, I can be an armchair quarterback and I can watch this unfold in my community here in Colorado and criticize what isn't going right or isn't going well, or I can actually be involved with it and make a difference. And that was kind of a driving factor for me. And so the education aspect was huge for me. And it was everything from, I must have given, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, 500 tours of the Dixie facility to legislators, regulators, law enforcement, other countries. I mean, I had Japan, Korea, Spain. I had, wow, you know, just a myriad of people that would come through our facility to see what we were doing, how we were doing it, to talk about edibles, to help other states as they were beginning to formulate their regulations, to explain to them why, how edibles work and how they're dosed and, you know, what that means to the consumer. So there was that piece. But then we also created a lot of, I think, really good and impactful materials, particularly early on with legalization, about how much should you consume and where can you consume it? And, you know, how do edibles work versus smoking versus drinking a cannabis product? So a lot of really good information there for consumers as well.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a tremendous amount of education on all levels.
Absolutely. And sorry, real quickly, Jeff, the great news was that we had a lot of partners in this. So we were not the only company interested in doing so. And there were the Cannabis Business Association, NCIA, Marijuana Industry Group, all of these organizations that we were part of all wanted to do the same thing. All we wanted was a safe, regulated, successful launch of this into adult use legalization. So everyone kind of got on board. Everyone shared materials. It was definitely a time of collaboration.
Awesome. So, you know, I think looking back to, let's just say, your days at Ogilvy and Frontier Airlines, and even, you know, Vladimir Jones, from a, you know, making that move over into the cannabis world, like what were, this is early on, this is not like today. So I feel like there's a lot more stigma back then, but yeah. What were some of the things that people were, that, what did they say to you? It's like, it's not like it's today, we're all kind of jumping on the cannabis bandwagon and it's, you know, it's almost legal across the country. But back then it was really a very different time.
Yeah. And I'll tell you first one kind of funny anecdote, which I had a conversation with my family first. And I have three kids. And at the time they were, I think if I remember correctly, like 11, 13. And then my daughter was like 5 or 6. And I told them about what I was going to do because I felt it was important that they're aware of this. And my two oldest, my boys, they broke down in tears. They were crying. And why are you going to, you know, be involved with drugs and marijuana is bad. And obviously that our, you know, our education system is working to teach them that drugs are bad. But it was a really, really difficult situation. I wrote a whole blog post about it and I shared it with a bunch of people. And it was painful to feel like I was, you know, doing something that my kids didn't approve of. But of course, looking back, I'm glad I did not take career advice from my 13-year-old at the time. And I think he thinks about it a little bit differently nowadays. But that was kind of my first real feedback once I accepted the job. Now, getting into the industry, to be honest, it was so popular and so top of mind for everybody at that time frame that I kind of became the marijuana guy for all of the people that I knew in marketing. It was, hey, Joe, tell me about this. Or, hey, you know, I heard about this about a company. So I kind of became that resource expert for those who were not in the industry. And I kind of liked that position. And I'll tell you something, Jeff, I did not have one person that I knew personally, at least, who had anything other than positive feedback for me. So it was an exciting time, actually.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I have definitely experienced that moving in from, you know, tech and brand to, you know, the cannabis space. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I think, again, it's a very different time now because it's, everyone's really looking around. And, you know, a few guests that I've had on the show in the last week really kind of talking about what has happened, you know, with COVID-19 and how dispensaries and MSOs are deemed as essential. Like this is a kind of a groundbreaking opportunity that we're experiencing right now. So a lot of attention in the cannabis world.
It is a groundbreaking opportunity, and it's one that's long overdue. And it's unfortunate that a situation like what we're in had to lead to that.
Wana Brands is, you know, largely known for edibles, and I feel like you are, you know, an expert in that space. And I just wanted you to tell us a little more about, you know, for one, how you approach edibles, kind of from a marketing perspective, how it differs from, let's just say, vapes and buds. And also, you know, what is your approach on building out the brand now?
Well, I can tell you that I'll answer the question backwards of the way you asked it. So my approach in terms of building the brand, I'm still so early on, right? This tomorrow will be 2 weeks exactly. And I'm a big believer that you have to really observe before you can come in and have a perspective. And I think I'm still in the observational phase, you know, because Wana has done a tremendous job of building a brand long before I was there. So I'm not about to come in and say, well, we're doing it all wrong. We got to do it this way. Mine is to really add value and see how we can continue to expand it and stay in the position that we're in. So I'm taking a little bit of time. I'm absorbing everything and really starting to learn what the team has been doing and what the company has been up to. Now, as a whole, what I can tell you is part of what attracted me to Wana is that they're doing things from a standpoint of consumer and science. And by that, I mean, when I left the edible space for a little bit of time, and it was about 2 years that I was out of the edible space, part of my thinking was I didn't think that innovation meant coming up with a new flavor profile for whatever product it is that you make, right? Another chocolate flavor or something. That to me wasn't innovation. Innovation for a cannabis space meant coming up with science-driven formulations that included maybe minor cannabinoids, that included how do you make a true quick onset product so that you don't have the delay that you have with some edible products? How do you look at the next wave of edibles and make it more acceptable to consumers who are currently maybe flower smokers? So that was what really appealed to me about Wana, is that is exactly what they're doing and exactly how they approach product development at this company. And I think that's what's going to win the day for us.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a ton of the products that you guys, you know, have, and well, for one, they look very delicious, which is,
they are,
which is really hard when they're in front of you. Cause you know, I think just the flavors and the colors too are, you know, they kind of heighten your senses before you even put it in your mouth. So I feel like that's obviously a big win for you guys. I'm just curious, as far as like your demo, like who are you guys marketing to? Like, is it everybody? Is it a certain customer? Is it a very targeted audience? Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So in terms of the demography, I mean, and I think we're still learning about cannabis as a whole, really, and not even just on a brand by brand basis. But I think we tend to skew a little bit older. Our products are definitely not competing on the price point basis that some edible products are. We try to hold our price point because we feel that there is value within our product. And we're looking for a consumer that understands the value of both efficacy and repeatability of the experience. I mean, I've seen so many edible products that don't understand the science side of how to infuse an edible, and therefore each experience is different. The reason why Wana is the top-selling gummy in the country is that it is the same experience over and over and over again, which of course is key for any CPG company. And we do a great job of that. So my point in bringing that up from a demographic standpoint is we are probably not the adventurer looking for the latest and greatest, most interesting thing. We're looking for that demography that says, I like this experience. I want this over again. And I'm willing to pay the price point that's appropriate to have that repeatability. And so, you know, we're continuing to, I think, divide up this market a little bit further in terms of who consumes what and where, but I think we do pretty well in the female demo, and we do pretty well as we skew a little bit higher income.
Awesome. Well, it was great to hear a little bit more about Wana, and of course, you know, congratulations on your new role. If you've listened to the show before, we kind of talk a little bit about business, and then we have a couple of quick fire questions towards the end. And don't get nervous. It's super easy. So I'm just going to basically ask you a question and just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh, man, that could be scary.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do
it. Okay, so one word or two words. Your 20s.
Learning.
When are you most productive?
Morning.
What chore do you hate doing?
Packing.
What's running low in your house right now?
Everything.
What motivates you?
My values.
Favorite memory?
Probably the trip that we took to Uganda last year as a family.
Nice. What's for dinner tonight?
You think I'm thinking 4 hours ahead at this point?
I take that as you don't know yet.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
That's what it's been like for 2 weeks now.
I know. I'm in the same boat. What does your home office look like?
Well, as of today, it is in my basement in a small corner that just happened to have a built-in platform desk that was here when we moved into this house 17 years ago that I've never used before, but now it's my home office.
Well, thank God for that, right?
Yeah.
What is one item that you can't live without?
I know you don't mean it this way, but honestly, my family.
Okay. That works. Do you have any pets?
I do. We have a Tibetan Terrier.
Amazing. Joe, this was awesome. Like, really appreciate you coming on the show and really great to understand a little bit more about you and how you're most productive. And, you know, maybe we can talk tomorrow when you're planning your dinner and I can give you some help.
I'd appreciate that. We need all the help we can get at this point. It's been pretty brutal lately.
It sure has. Well, Joe, listen, congratulations again. Really looking forward to seeing what you're going to do over there. And again, really appreciate you coming on.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, and I wish you the best of luck as well. And we'll compare notes as to what it was like starting new roles during this craziness.
I know. Well, that's one thing that we're definitely on the same trajectory for. Hopefully, check back in a few months and things will be back to normal, I hope.
Let's hope.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.